Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 123. I hope you're doing well out there as you're listening to this episode. It is the second part of a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago. It's actually episode 121. And on that episode, my good friends DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran stopped by to talk about professional wrestling. And we were going a little bit long, so I asked the guys if they would mind if we could make two episodes out of their appearance. So this is the second half of that conversation, where we're still going to be talking about professional wrestling. We're going to talk about Jinder Mahal's title run in the WWE, how some companies want to expand into India, a little Ring of Honor, a little Impact Wrestling, just a whole bunch of wrestling-related topics that I think that you will appreciate and enjoy. But before I get too far along, I want to talk about my recent trip to Washington, D.C. That's right. I got an opportunity to go down to Washington, D.C. and visit a couple friends of mine and go to AwesomeCon, which was a really cool comic book convention. Very big. Had a blast and thoroughly enjoyed it. And then, you know, also spent some time going to some of the other sites there in Washington, D.C. And as a matter of fact, this is a PVD Cast exclusive. While at the African American History Museum on Monday afternoon, I ran into an actor. That's right, I did. Just a mere foot away from my friend and I was standing John Barrowman. You know, he's Malcolm Merlyn from Arrow. And he obviously was in town because of AwesomeCon. And it really caught us by surprise that he was just standing right there the next little exhibit over. So we went over, we talked to him for maybe about a minute. Very nice guy. And it was super cool to see Malcolm Merlyn standing right there next to you, man. So that was definitely a highlight of the trip. I guess one of the lowlights of the trip, of course, was my travel woes. You know, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just a little bit upset with the way in which airlines nowadays don't care. You know, and you know what? I'm not going to get into it because it's a very long story. All I can say is that I find it ridiculous that their customer service, they just don't care. They don't give a damn about you. They don't care. Whatever the circumstances is, your inconvenience is of no concern to them, and it's just maddening. And I, you know what? Maybe I'll save that for another time. We'll talk about that some other time. Okay, one other thing I'd like to talk about before we get into the second half of the conversation about pro wrestling is that I'm recording this on June 22nd. So the night before was the NHL Awards and Expansion Draft. And I gotta be honest, I watched it. I'm a huge puckhead, as you know. And really, honestly, I just sat waiting for the main event because, quite frankly, I think several of those draft picks by the Vegas Golden Knights really were lackluster, mediocre. I was just sitting around waiting on the main event, as I called it before. Marc-Andre Fleury to be drafted by the Vegas Golden Knights, which, by the way, did happen. And, you know, I don't know. You know, he's been in Pittsburgh for about 14 years now. He's won 3 Stanley Cups for the franchise. He's done a ton of things for the city of Pittsburgh and for the franchise. And I want to say thank you, Marc-Andre Fleury, for all you've done. Hopefully, he'll find success in Vegas. I think they have a decent top 4 defenseman grouping that they can have in front of him. I don't know about those last two slots, the number 5 and number 6. But nonetheless, it should be interesting to see how that works out there in the desert. There's another topic I could talk about, but I'm not going to. I'm going to defer, because I'm not a big fan of the expansion of the NHL into Las Vegas. But again, I digress. We'll talk about that some other time as well. So, all right, let's get on into it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of this break, you're going to hear my conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand as we talk about some wrestling. All right, this is episode 2, I guess you can call it. I don't know, a sequel? A continuation? What should we call it? Come on, Joey, what should we call it?
My creative juices aren't flowing for that, I don't know.
Okay, well,
let's hope it's better than 2.5 Men with Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, well, things will be better maybe. Than that, yeah.
All right, John Orlando sitting here. We're rolling again because the last time we ran out of time, literally, talking about WWE Extreme Rules, talking about SmackDown and Raw, and there's still some more topics we want to cover, so
thanks for listening, folks, to this second edition of Ringside Rant, and DJ Joey Blaze joining me here to talk some wrestling.
Formerly known as Big White.
Formerly known as Big White.
Formerly known as Tinseltown Spicer. That's a little known fact, that one.
Really? Okay.
That was, Tinseltown was my apartment wrestling federation name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, AWF.
The AWF.
That takes it back a while. There you go. Bringing that up. Tinseltown Spice. But that's where Mr. Ninja originated. That's where the Purple Passion originated.
Wait a minute.
The Purple Passion.
Are you breaking kayfabe and admitting you're Mr. Ninja?
No, he originated there. I was friends with him. He's still in Singapore. The baddest man from Baltimore to Singapore. He's out there right now. But the Purple Passion, who was a cousin of the adorable Adrian Adonis, but he always wore a mask. It was really weird. And Ima, this guy got really over in the AWF. His name was Ima. His last name was Jobber.
Ima Jobber.
Yeah, Ima Jobber. And he always got it, but he always seemed to lose for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Yeah. I am also known as the White George Jefferson, because when I got married, I went from Whitehall to the Golden Ghetto.
There you
That's
go.
That's moving on up.
Moving on up. There you go.
But in Whitehall, if you go back to the previous podcast where we talked about where he had the wrestling room... That was amazing. It probably put Steve Carell's action figures to shame in the 40-year-old virgin.
So do you have the wrestling room now in the Golden Ghetto? Is it set up or is it still?
No.
It got vetoed.
Most of them got...
put in boxes?
When I said I do, I meant I don't anymore.
So are they in boxes? You still have the stuff or what?
Very little.
Oh, man.
The sacrifices you make for a woman.
Jeez.
A good woman at that.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
That's probably one of the reason I hardly ever talked to him the last 9 years. But hey, that happens.
All right, one thing we kind of ran out of time about: Nakamura versus Owens on SmackDown the last couple weeks ago. What's wrong? Why are you grimacing? You're not a Nakamura fan, are
okay.
you?
Okay, WWE needs to figure. Oh, I love Nakamura. They need to figure this out. Do they talk about their wrestler's past, or they not talk about their wrestler's past? They talk about on which, by the way, the Finn Balor. On
documentary
yeah. on the network, awesome. They talk about the Bullet Club. Nakamura and Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen met in Ring of Honor.
Yes.
And so they have a history. I hate where they say first time ever when it's bullshit. It's not. Just say first time ever in a WWE ring, and that's just as fine to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And
they're selective.
Yeah, and you stop being selective. We're all there's so many smart marks only beyond this point that. I use quotation marks and airs.
It wouldn't be an episode of the PBD cast if I didn't make air quotes, which no one can see. It happens all the time, so
you can hear them.
And how does Steve Martin get credit for that?
Who?
Steve Martin gets credit.
Did he?
Yes.
I don't know that. I'm learning so much here on the last episode and this episode.
Well, Ringside knows a lot of useless trivia that I always learn something new when I'm around him, too.
There you go.
What I've learned is to be this humongous sponge. And I just soak it all up.
There you go.
So, but anyway, Nakamura and
Owens.
I really hope Shinsei doesn't have an urgent run in because it's going to take him 3 to 5 minutes to come through the curtain and help out whoever his friend
is that's
in trouble.
That's very
true. Who had a longer entrance, Shinsuke or Jinder Mahal on SmackDown?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't.
My question is if he's proud of his
Indian heritage,
why is he wearing an American suit?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. That's probably a cultural thing that I don't know.
I don't know, but that's a whole nother... Wow.
So what do you think of Mahal as a champ?
Can we go back to the Shinsuke, Kevin Owens stuff?
And then okay.
Because here's what I want to touch. We'll talk about Mahal as a champion in a second. I was at the NXT show locally here a few months ago, and Ringside had never seen some of these guys work, Nakamura being one of them. So I'm interested to see how he feels. I want to hear his opinion on what he saw now, what he's seen on SmackDown so far, and what he thinks. That's what I want to know.
I think when you come in with that much hype, it's almost impossible to live up to it. We've seen so little of him. He was working dark matches after SmackDown with Dolph for a long time. When has he had a pay-per-view match yet?
He did against Dolph, didn't he?
Yes, against
Dolph,
yeah.
So he's had one.
Yes.
15 minutes? It seems like he's just barely scratched the surface. If he lives up to this hype, he's going to be phenomenal or incredible. I can't
But what's your opinion so far? So what you saw that night in that tag match, than what you've seen. Have you gone back and watched any on the network on him?
No.
So just the limited amount you've seen of him, the exposure you've had to him, what do you think of him?
It seems like there's a lot more there, but he's doing an awful lot of moves that we're supposed to like, but we're not sure why. The posing, the grabbing the ropes and the bending over, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe that needs to be explained to new viewers.
And the reason I ask him that, because there's a huge amount of the population. I was actually speaking on the telephone to Bad Boy Brady West about this, that are wrestling fans that are in areas where they just don't have the network. They just see that type of stuff. They just see what's on TV. They, not everybody gets it. There's small pockets that they're just now being introduced to Nakamura. So I kind of like to hear, and I think that's a good way to put it. I think people are still waiting to hear more. My friend Will, his dad wasn't, has really been exposed to him. Which, by the way, shout out to Will, shout out to your dad, and shout out to your stepmom that gets really excited when Dean Ambrose comes out. It's a funny inside joke. I'll probably have to say it off the air. Anyway, but no, there's this group of people, and it's always nice. Now, I love Shinsuke. I've always loved and had a thing for Japanese wrestlers as I've been watching wrestling my entire life, going, you know, back to Muda and Chono, and then of course the guys that we would see that weren't traditional Japanese wrestlers on ESPN as we were growing up and watching that stuff too. Who's the one guy that was always on every week on
Habashi?
On AWA?
USWA.
USWA? Tojo Yamamoto?
Yes, yep.
Tojo Yamamoto.
Some of the guys that came through there, and then it's just interesting to see that, I guess, the Japanese wrestler evolve too, because we've seen them, dude, and for it to get over more with the American crowd.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I was talking to Brady West about. It's really cool to be enamored and to watch that, I guess, wrestling from the East come to the West and just grow and be where it's at now. And Nakamura is a nice mix of all that.
Right.
I'm a huge fan. Sorry, I really took 270 where I could have taken 70. But,
yeah, well, you were
stuck in IKEA traffic for a few minutes there. Right.
I was.
I think that he's got the showmanship. That's what I think American fans will appreciate. Like, you're right. It doesn't make sense what he does with the hand gestures and the leaning over and that, but I think that still gives him the fandom. But, from the American,
but that's spot. Homage to his two favorite music stars, Prince and Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
so that's where a lot of that's from.
I will say this: if you get an opportunity, Rand, and I'm sure it's out there on YouTube, I think the most impressive match that I've seen Nakamura do is against Kota Ibushi from one of the Wrestle Kingdoms. I think Wrestle Kingdom 9. That match is amazing. They beat the living hell out of each other, but it's a really good match. It was. Really
I
want
to go back and watch his match with Lesnar. Because he had a match with Lesnar, if I'm not mistaken. Once or twice. Japan? Yeah. When Lesnar was over there. Nakamura was younger.
2 years ago?
No, it was when Nakamura... It was when he left, when Lesnar left, and then he came back and did a little thing in Japan for a while.
Yeah, yeah. He was the IWGP champ for a while.
I guess that they locked horns there. But, I mean, I haven't seen a guy come from over there that's been this charismatic since Muda.
Yeah, right.
And it's really cool, because I was a huge Muda fan, and it's nice to...
see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Jinder Mahal as champ. What do you think?
Great shock value. It pissed a lot of people off. It got reaction, and I think that's what they wanted.
One of my favorite angles in the mid-2000s, one of my favorite wrestlers that they had to cut the head off the snake because of war going on, was Muhammad Hassan. It seems like a similar formula. That you get somebody that's non-American that's in there, And you can create a lot. Obviously, he created more. There was more going on with that background. But I always love. But what if you when you love when they take a wrestler and they can kind of turn that on a dime and do that to everybody. But on the same token, too, I've read his interviews. Like, he did an interview with GQ and an interview with ESPN where he came out and said he didn't want his character to be about that. And he's actually changed up some of his interviews on his own. So a lot of this that we're seeing is him getting himself over too. Which is really cool to me.
Yeah, because he's been stuck in the mid-card or the low end of the card for a long time. And so for him to finally get...
When all three of those guys in 3MB had it, they just put them out there every week to get their butts kicked. I think Heath Slater's charismatic, and then we see Drew McIntyre down on NXT. It's nice to see those guys kind of get a little bit of a rub now, too. Actually, obviously, he's getting more of a rub now. Jinder is, but...
If I remember the early days of Muhammad Hassan, he wasn't portrayed as either good or bad. They let the audience decide which way he went.
And that was one of the big things that I complained about that with that character was that they just immediately, because the fans had to think with Muhammad Hassan that, okay, it's not you. People are kind of indecisive. So rather than wait and see how that's sorted out, because I think that, look, you talked to a lot of people of Middle Eastern descent that are American, that are born in this country. There was a lot of anti-Middle Eastern sentiment during that time frame, yeah. Unfortunately. And still to this day, I think there is. But instead of letting people think, well, maybe Hassan has got an idea. Maybe he's right. Maybe he is profiled. Maybe, you know. But I think that Vince didn't want to wait, pull that trigger, talk about the troops in America, and bam, we're off and running. And you see, that guy's long gone. He's never been in the business ever again.
He's acting or something.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Which.
But how do you have a Punjabi celebration without the Punjabi playboy himself? Why was he not there?
Maybe he had to go back to India for military service. I don't know.
I was told that he won the Celebrity Big Brother in India.
Kali?
Yes.
Well, here's another thing that's crazy too. Like, I would have brought Kali back just for that. That'd have been cool. Because I've always been a Kali fan. Because he's just slow and annoying, and it was funny. But I thought that they had signed somebody, and I remember reading something. You guys can email us, send me a tweet or something, that they signed somebody that was larger than Kali from India, and he was going to be assigned to NXT. Then I never heard anything after that. They said there was a guy that they signed from over there. It was 7'7".
Manute Bol?
Giant Gonzalez had a brother. Look him up.
Look up the new bowl.
We're all these different continents here.
Anyways,
but see, suppose, but that never happened. But anyway, no, I don't know how. I like him as a champ, though. I like the Singh brothers. I've followed the Bollywood boys,
mm-hmm.
On the internet. Like there's a gentleman I watch. I'll have to give him a plug on Instagram. We can give you
sure.
It's called the Wrestling Classic. And he's always been a fan of the Bollywood boys. And I asked how I got introduced to him. And I started watching some more of their matches. It's nice to see them out there, but I want to see them work now. Instead of just being stooges.
Well, and they were in the Cruiserweight Classic, if you remember.
They were in the Dusty Rhodes tag team thing.
Yes, they were too. And then, mm-hmm. then they also spent some time in TNA before that. So they're accomplished guys. They've worked all around. And we talked on the last time that we chatted earlier this evening, or on the previous episode, we talked about the lack of characters in 205 Live. There you go. There was two guys that had some great characters that could have went with that. How much do you think putting the strap on Mahal was done because the WWE wants to break into India?
Oh, I think that was a huge part because they went
90%. You think? Oh, or?
I think, but. With them doing that, though, I think they really did themselves something really, really good because I think because he's not transitional. He's not going to drop the title to Randy that fast. He's going to drop it to somebody else. Well, John Cena's coming back July 4th, so who knows? I saw that. God. But anyway, I think that they're building that character so they have a character that they can keep using down the road, and I think they've done a very good job with that character, personally.
All right. As a champion, he's getting plenty of heat.
Most definitely he is. And I think he's done a great job, and hats off to the dude.
And if he couldn't get over this, his other option would have been dye his hair red, and he could have been Ginger Mahal.
Don't worry, there's going to be plenty of crazy booking ideas come here in a few moments. But
Fantasy booking.
NXT. I also, as I mentioned on the last episode, I just got back into watching a lot of NXT because, again, of my personal and professional schedule, I haven't had a lot of time. And I gotta say, right now, I think that they're in a transition period with some of their wrestlers and some of their storylines.
They've been in a transition period, I think, for a while. Now, people will say no, not whatever, but since they've made all these call-ups and everybody's come on, it's tough to really get behind. I mean, it's kind of like it's like a stronger version of TNA down there. Like, it doesn't have the NXT feel. Although I love Bobby Roode as champ. Bobby Roode is awesome.
He's glorious.
You could say that. Yeah, it's crazy. He had the best, probably top three best entrance in the WWE universe is down in NXT because that entrance is crazy.
Who's the other two?
Oh, Nakamura has to be one.
But he's on the main roster. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I misunderstood what you said. Okay.
I'm just about overall, but yeah.
I think Eric Young and
Insanity is phenomenal. That's a throwback to those crazy stables like Kevin Sullivan that you used to have in the '80s, and I like it. And
Dungeon of Doom,
Dungeon of Doom, and kudos to him for going in a completely different way, too.
Totally different direction. Out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
Incredible worker.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric Young's always been a great worker.
I think Roderick Strong has fit in nicely down there. I'd like to see them do a little more and maybe elevate him to that main event status against Bobby Roode. And I think that's going to happen with him.
It has to
with as many people as they've called up.
Yeah, right.
They're just missing they're missing some people down there. There's something that's missing because, like I said, I came from the early part of NXT going, you know, watching it, watching all their, when they came here in town, being at all their stuff at the Arnold and stuff like that. Now all those people are up. So I'm trying to get into it more and more and more. I do like Aleister Black. I think it's a neat character. I think where they can go with it, it's something that's just, it's totally different. It's appealing to a different demographic.
That I don't get because here's why, and I'll explain. I think you have Insanity, the goofballs, the weirdos, and you have this guy that's the standalone weirdo. Why is he not with the other weirdos?
He's a different type of weirdo. I see what you're getting.
You get what I'm saying. That's what I don't get.
Things I just dislike, though, is for different reasoning. I'm kind of getting tired of all the strikers in wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you mean.
Like, everybody's kicking now. Everybody's doing this. That's the only thing, and I've got a conversation with one of my friends about this. I like him. I like his character. His in-ring stuff bothers me sometimes.
Okay.
But he's a different type of weirdo, though. Think about all the weirdos we've seen. Like, when you had the Brood, then you had the, what, Golga and all those guys.
All the oddities.
And you had...
Okay. Kurgan, yeah.
Yeah, we've had different type of weirdos, but he's more of just an ass kicker. So
I'll tell you this: I'm a big fan of the two ladies, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. I like the idea that they have them paired up doing their own thing.
I don't really like Billie Kay.
You don't?
I'm not a fan.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm a fan.
I'm more Peyton, team Peyton Royce.
Okay, all right. I
like Ember Moon. I like their women's division.
See, I don't like Ember Moon either. I don't because again, this is a character that doesn't seem, it doesn't, like Aleister Black, it doesn't click with me because to me I have too many questions about it. Like, so she's supposed to be like this otherworldly type of character who's from Dallas fucking Texas. So that doesn't make any sense, first of all. And I know that's nitpicking, but, right?
It's part of the character. The hometown, you're right. The hometown doesn't match the character.
Right, and just the whole presentation of her doesn't match up either. Like, there's just something about it that I would retool it. I mean, it just, I don't know.
Who's their next big signee?
That's a great question. Who do they sign? I'm going to be honest, and I don't get it, but this guy's getting a lot of buzz. I would not be surprised, one of two, I say Timothy Thatcher, who I would agree with, and I think that guy is pretty talented. But the other one is this Joey Janela guy. I don't know.
Combat Zone dude,
he is all over the place on the internet. Everybody's popping for him. I don't quite understand it. I'm just going to be honest.
Do you think NXT wants to bring in established stars from other places or build their own?
I think both. I think they have both.
It's a little bit of both because they've got the formula down. Where's Adam Cole? Why hasn't he showed up yet?
I don't know. That's a very good question because the rumors are that he's heading there.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of Adam Cole. I think he'll be great.
Adam Cole, baby.
That's right.
Will we ever see Drew McIntyre back up?
On the main roster?
Yeah.
I don't know. If they're going to do it, I think they're going to have to keep him in NXT very short and get him up there while he's still maybe in the minds of some pro wrestling fans. I don't know how many fans watch TNA
I hate seeing just Bobby Roode just flailing away down there, but that's the main thing they have.
Right, yeah.
So it's six of one, half dozen of another. But
right.
Overall, I like NXT. It's just a different type. It's Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is to me.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that they got some work to do with some...
Is that a fair comparison, ringside?
Yes.
Because you still have Triple H running, which you have Mr. Belding, right? I'm right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know who Screech is in this situation, but
Screech is Perry Watson. There you go.
Percy?
Percy Watson. What did I say? Perry Watson?
Perry.
Whatever. Percy. Because he adds nothing to the commentary.
Zero.
Team. Zero. Like, literally, he says nothing.
I totally forgot they run a three-man team.
Yeah.
So he's Byron Saxton.
Yes. But Byron at least says more than he does.
Byron also knows where the bodies are hidden, I think.
I think so too, yes.
Something weird there.
So I saw this on the internet. A recent study, some think tank did a study that the average median age of a professional wrestling watcher is 54 years old. In 2000, it was 28 years old. What do you think of that?
Eric Bischoff mentioned on the Table for Three the other day that he went different from WWE at the time, and he went reality-based. He was after the 18 to 30 crowd, the early days of Nitro. He talked about that.
Yeah, he talked about that in depth. That's what he was. That one of the concepts he's out there, and obviously they're not trying to grasp that now. They don't. It's stagnant.
Well, that's what this study said. It says that, you know, those folks that grew up in the boom, the last big boom period of the Attitude Era, is getting older and stuck around with it, but they're not building. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not building up the other.
They're getting to be 12 or 13. They're done rooting for Seaman and Seaman.
Wow. That'll be edited out.
No. I'm leaving that in because that's hilarious. Seaman, huh? The 13-year-olds are cheering for Seaman.
They're starting to recognize that. They're getting to be that age.
They're excited.
Anyway, they're getting past that Cena and Roman Reigns deal. And, you know, they're discovering high school. They're discovering women. They're kind of getting away.
Were you going to say AIDS instead of age?
Jeez, you're really putting words in my mouth now. But no, I think that's part of the thing. And then, you know, because there's that gap. Yeah. There's that gap of who you appeal to.
Right.
What do you think it would take to get teenagers involved?
Well, God, it's obvious. Go back more of a reality base, but they're going to lose too many sponsors that way if they went back to that.
Yeah, and I think then you got to be edgier, and I think that that's part of the issue.
It's all about the money. They don't care who's watching as long as they're getting paid.
What is it? I think Vince said you have to have 7 streams of income in order to be a billionaire. I think that's been quoted.
I have half of a stream, so I'm nowhere near that.
We don't even have 7 streams probably here.
No.
Sitting in this room. Anyways. All right.
I'm getting to be the age where I hardly have a stream when I go to the bathroom.
So. Oh, boom, boom. Anyways. See, kids, you're listening to this podcast. You're learning about sex ed, proper prostate health, and professional wrestling.
Hashtag Van's deference. Anyways. I don't know if that has to do with anything.
Not
to be confused with Van Hammer.
Okay, thanks. Kids don't know that one either.
Could Van Hammer have a match with Man Mountain Rock?
I think they did.
Didn't they? They had a feud in WCW.
And maybe the winner of that gets Elias Sampson.
There you go.
Road Dogg and Jesse James will come on.
There you go. Oh, it'll be like the old valet gimmick where you're like, oh, Van Hammer versus Man Mountain Rock, the winner gets Elias Sampson for 30 days. There you go.
The Drifter. Hey, I'm a fan. I mentioned that the last episode. Just keep an eye on him. They'll put the IC strap on him at some point at least.
Speaking of reality, that's a storyline that hasn't been done in a long time. The winner gets the valet for 30 days.
I think that'd be a cool one to do with The Miz. I think that'd be great for Ambrose and Miz, to be honest with you.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Because there's so many different dynamics. We're going to this fantasy booking. I know you mentioned that. I hope I'm not,
Let's go. That's next on the list, so go ahead.
So, if you could do something like that, then all of a sudden, Renee Young gets pissed with Ambrose being with whatever's going on there. And there's a bunch of different ways.
Seriously, the mere thought of keeping it, even without Renee Young, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Because,
you know, Dean would be like, hey, mow my yard. And she doesn't know how to mow the yard, you know, and he would, you know.
But then you could bring in that reality aspect.
Yeah, you could. That would be really good.
I don't know. That would be kind of cool. I love that. If it's done the right way, but if it's on some sort of mid-card, it has nothing to do with anything, okay, you get to be part of the Titus brand for 30 days. I don't want to sign off on that contract. I don't want to be on the Titus brand.
What do you mean? Akira Nozawa is going to be part of the Titus brand.
Shaq signing with Starter is a better deal than being with the Titus brand. At least he's making money from that.
All right, so Impact Wrestling has been in the news because they have gone over to India to do some business. They beat the WWE there, apparently.
Yes and no.
I don't know the way
that they've been talking about it. They went there to do stuff, but the WWE already has their claws sunk into
The WWE is like Hydra. It's everywhere. Nice. The UK, you know, America.
You a fan of Hydra?
The character?
It's comic book reference. Speak. Never mind. Anyways, I mean, so, what do you think about this deal in India with Impact Wrestling?
I think anytime that they can kind of grow their brand is great, not only for them, it's great for WWE too, because if you can help build them and make them more of a competitor, that'll make WWE step their game up. I don't like TNA, but I want them to be a competitor. They're nowhere near being that, but when they're a competitor, that makes it makes the other brand
sure.
better.
Sure.
Because you go to Burger King, when they put a McDonald's, Wendy's, and KFC next to it, that Burger King's usually better. As you can tell, I like to eat. So the competition's good, man. I think it's a good thing for them. But they're both kind of doing the same thing, because they did the whole UK thing years ago, and now WWE's doing the UK thing with the title. So,
and it's weird because the WWE comes in and says, "Hey, we're here second, but we're going to do it better."
Yeah,
you know,
and they did way better.
So, you don't think that Raw versus SmackDown's enough competition to keep?
Never, not at all. Now, what I think would be a cool thing to throw into it would be Regal trying to. Now, this would be back to fantasy booking. Do something and say, NXT, you know, we're a better brand than what you guys are putting on TV, and try and make that more of a competitor too.
Maybe Regal comes up as a mouthpiece for some of those people who need it.
Yeah, we talked a lot about mouthpiece, the lack of managers in the last episode, and
he's Screech, by the way, I guess.
Okay, there you go. He would be Screech, but a cooler Screech.
Way cooler.
And one that would kick the
shit
out of
you. He's a man's man. He's a man's man is what he is.
Is he AC Slater?
Oh, Slater wasn't on the new class.
Well, I mean, I think, and here's the bottom line, too. The more places you have for talented people to work, the better it is for the industry. Whether it's TNA, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's PWG, whether it's Smash Wrestling, wherever.
Apartment Wrestling.
I mean, I think that that's the bottom line. I think the thing that I marvel at with Impact Wrestling is that they continue to try to do the exact same thing as the WWE. You talk about this, you know, the WWE coming into UK or India and doing it better than them. When is Impact Wrestling, TNA, whatever you want to call it, when are they going to start just being their own single entity? They had it for a while, and then they let it slip away.
Well, because they went through a whole merger and everything. They have different owners, and I think they kind of have some of the right people in place. I like Pritchard. I like Zebekiah, whatever.
Dutch Mantel. Yeah. They're very old school.
Yeah, and I like seeing that there. I've always been a Jarrett fan. Some people don't like what Jarrett does with that, but I think they got some of the... as long as they keep getting the monetary backing, which is what hurt them to begin with, because Panda Energy just ran out of money. They didn't want to pay any more money for what she was doing there. I think they can be able to keep growing and doing their own thing, and it will attract people instead of trying to sign cast-offs. Don't sign a cast-off. Yeah. You want to be the attractive person in the room, not the sugar daddy in the room, I guess. So
yeah.
I think that's going to help them if they keep trying to grow and they have this more money to throw around. It makes them more of attractive than...
Okay, well, let's put it out on the record for this. Have you watched TNA recently?
Probably 15 minutes on a couple different episodes.
Okay. I don't get Pop TV. The last time I watched it a year ago when I was visiting Mom in Rhode Island, and I watched a half hour of it, and not because of the product, but because on my mother's cable lineup, and I'm not making this up, it's Pop TV is also the TV Guide channel. So you only get half of screen, and the bottom of the screen is the TV Guide channel with the listings.
That's interesting.
Completely messed up. So I just could not. I'm like, I don't, you know, no, I'm done. I just can't, because I was too distracted by what's going on down here, what's up there, and it was the... So I haven't seen it. You? Have you watched it?
I've seen a little bit. Okay. I've tried watching it. It's been unbearable to watch, because it's like they've taken everything that they had built, and then so many people have left, and all these changes since the new merger that they're building new stuff, and it's been. Well, speaking of people that they signed, didn't NXT sign Crazy Steve from there?
That I don't know.
I believe
I
so.
Know. I know that's that he rumor. Left.
So he's going to be. He'll be coming.
But okay, so how do you make Impact Wrestling attractive to these new folks? If you talked about it, you want the people coming to you. You don't want to be the sugar daddy. Signing cast-offs, what do you do? Because here's one thing I would suggest that they obviously didn't fall through on. One of the particular issues was with the Hardys. They did not get to keep the broken Matt Hardy and the Brother Nero gimmick that they created. So is that a way that you go, hey, look, here we go, we're going to be real lax. You create a something, creator ownership, you know, if you will.
Well, I like that idea because that's one of the things that made WCW so attractive is the way that they paid their stars, with Nash and Hall creating that the precedent on the guaranteed contracts.
Okay.
So I think if you can do stuff where you create precedents and make stuff more attractive from, you know, the independent contractor where they're able to, you know, if they have their own creative control and stuff like that, I think if you're able to kind of mold that and change that around and give them more freedom, I think they would really appreciate that as workers. I know I would have. I know guys I've came up with or talked to or did anything with, they really appreciate their freedom, so that might be part. But then that's also creating egos. So you kind of got to find a way to kind of keep that all in check as well.
Well, you know what? I just did the count real quick. According to their website, they have 42 male wrestlers and 14 knockouts, and that's not counting referees, production people, you know, at the commentary booth or whatnot. If those people are all under contract, that's a lot of money for what we'll say is a younger, you know, smaller company than the WWE.
42 male wrestlers, 14
female
knockouts on a two-hour show.
Well, yeah, a lot of these, I'm going to be honest, ringside, a lot of these guys, I'm like, I don't even know who that is because I've never heard of them before. You know, I'm trying to think of one of the people that I literally Googled because I'm like, I don't know who this dude is. I've never heard of him before, ever, not even on the indies or whatnot, and found out. He was some Croatian guy. I don't remember what his name was. He wrestled in Jersey All-Pro for like 10 years. I'm like, okay, I've never heard of this dude before.
So you know? If they're going to build, what are the strengths that they have to build on? The six-sided ring doesn't do anything for me.
Well, you know, funny you mention that.
But it is different.
Right. I will give credit to another podcast that came up with this while talking about Impact Wrestling. And so Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus, we're talking about this very topic. One of the things pointed out, and I like the idea that I think Lance Storm brought up, was you only have 6 to 8 people under a guaranteed contract. Everybody else gets per night, per diem, whatnot. What that does is that frees up a lot of overhead that you have now more money to do stuff with. Additionally, it forces you maybe to book smarter, and I can understand that. Booking with OCW, if you had a roster of 12 people, you better have your shit correct versus 20.
Correct.
Because you can easily go...
Your chances to mess.
Right. You got a chance at 20 to go, hey, so what? There's going to be a shitty match. We know that. You know, there's going to be 7 matches on the card. One of them is going to be a stinker. Okay, no big deal. We got 6 solid ones. When you have 12, you're like, better make sure that every single one of these is going to hit. Right. And how do we figure out to do a 7th match with, you know, with the people we have? So I think that that would be the best way to go. But then you look at who do you keep if you were going to go that way. And again, by the way, as a side note, Lance mentioned this is how ECW started out. You know, Paul only had 6 or 8 people that was contracted. He's absolutely right. And then everybody else was brought in as, you know, per night filler, if you will. But then that begs a different, who do you keep?
See, I'm going to go against the grain of what you're telling. Your focus is on TNA. I think if you're going to rise somebody out of the ashes, I think Ring of Honor, it could get, because it's got the better product, the better workers,
the better TV coverage.
Exactly. I think that has a better chance to be a number two. And I think if there's ever a way for them to combine their efforts, which would never happen, I think that would be better. I see them being a number two, a stronger number two, a lot faster. But going back to TNA, there's guys I don't know who you would keep. Because like you said, the roster, you don't really know the whole roster. You need to, I mean, you keep, I'd keep EC3, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
I would keep Tyrus.
I would not, okay. But okay.
Because I think somebody like him has that. If they would have packaged him right out the get-go, he'd have been a great monster heel because he's huge.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think you just kind of look at play to these guys' strengths, and you keep the ones who have the better strength. There's guys I just don't like. Like, I don't like Eli Drake. He annoys the shit out of me. Not in a good way.
Do you keep Bobby Lashley?
Yes.
Well, you got to keep Bobby Lashley because Bobby Lashley brings legitimacy to it,
yep,
because
exactly,
of his background. So you definitely keep somebody like him for sure.
I just think that, you know, again,
you keep El Patron.
And now you have 2 sets of titles there too, because they're trying to merge with Global Force, in which, you know, I think they got to get that out of the way. My other point to this would be, and it's been said many, many, many places, your company that owns you is in Canada, move to Canada. It's a new market. You have plenty of small indies in Canada that can help to fill in your roster if you need some extra people. Not that you don't, because you have 56 people on the roster as it is. But if you needed other people, you could fill them in that way.
That might hurt some people's work visas, but that might help you kind of ease people out of there. Yeah, I think you've been down there in Orlando long enough. You've ran your course. They ran their course in Nashville.
Yep.
They figured that out, so they went to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
It's ran your course there. Now try something different. I mean, like you said, that's perfect to go to Canada.
Yeah.
I think, you know, go up in the Ontario, Toronto area, go to Vancouver, where you have more capabilities of doing more things with film, and you have...
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, because all the stuff is filmed out there.
Right.
If you go to Vancouver, you might even get some Asian. Might be able to get some people over from New Japan.
Right, because it's a shorter flight. You're right. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I just think that is... I don't know. I want to see Impact Wrestling succeed. Because, again, as I said, it's more places for people to work. And that's good for the industry overall. I will touch base. Go ahead, Ringside. You were going to say something, but I'll touch base about Ring of Honor.
They have a 2-hour show on Channel 306 once a week. A lot of people never look to Channel 306 on Huawei. Ring of Honor is on Saturday afternoon on a local station.
Because they're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yes. Right. Right, and they're replayed. They have a replay show on Sunday night, like at midnight. Then they have like a Wednesday night on Comet, which is also owned by Sinclair here in Columbus. The Wednesday show, though, is like a throwback show. Like, it's called like Classic ROH. So it's a show from a couple of years ago. They have the outlet. Here's my gripe with Ring of Honor. I think that Ring of Honor, in here, this is the best example. I have a friend of mine that was a mediocre wrestling fan. ECW comes around, he loved it because there was characters and it was gritty and it was violent and it had that underground feel to it.
And it wasn't cartoon characters that WWF had at the time.
Right. And so he got into it. And then at the same time, Raw and Nitro is going head to head. He was into it. Once all that collapsed, like, he's been an on again, off again fan where he'll watch a little bit and then that's it. So when Ring of Honor came out to his neck of the woods, he was like, I'm excited because you talk highly about it. This is what he said. He goes, it's missing that characters. Like, he goes, out of the hour that I watched, the only guys I liked were the Briscoes because they were the crazy redneck farmers that would kick the shit out of you. Like, he goes, I like that. He goes, I don't care about, at the time, this is when Adam Page debuted, right? He goes, I don't give a damn that this kid worked on tobacco farms and he's wrestled for 15 years in Virginia. Who cares? I don't care. I want a character. I want him to be a farmer, to come out in overalls and a hat and that. Like, he goes, I want that. And I think that that's exactly what they
have. You didn't like Cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger's... No. I don't even want to get started.
It's Chris Jericho's favorite wrestler.
Ridiculous. That guy shouldn't even be in the business. I'm just sorry to say it. I mean, it's just not believable.
I mean, anyway.
He's the Jason Tracken of Ring of Honor.
Nice.
So I think that that's my only gripe with Ring of Honor. I think the product's great. I think that they really do need to build characters. I think they've done that too recently, you know, over the last couple of years. I think the Kingdom is a really cool six-man group. I think that those guys work well.
No vignettes. Everything is... Based on the ring.
That's true. A little bit of those vignettes would be helpful.
Nothing backstage, nobody bumping into somebody.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a little bit of that.
Well, the vignette that showed Marty Scurll being introduced as the newest Bullet Club member, that was kind of a vignette because
yeah.
It was backstage, then it was out there, then Adam Cole got kicked out.
Yeah, and I don't...
Every club needs a little villain. I like some Marty Scurll, by the way.
I do. Marty Scurll is phenomenal. I like Dalton Castle, too. Mm-hmm. I think that character is phenomenal. I like the storyline that they've done with Christopher Daniels, that he's the old guard that's finally getting a shot at the world title. And he, you know, and how long can he keep it against the young kids, you know?
Tommy Dreamer-esque.
It is. It is very Tommy Dreamer-esque.
Well, he finally got his title.
But, you know, I think that they could do more with some of their characters. I don't understand some of the people they have under contract. There are a few that I'm just not fans of. I think their women division that they're trying to do is not very good either. I'm sorry to say that. I just think it's really
weak. A lot of them have been signed up.
Right.
A lot of the good women have been. And the ones that they have that are good, they're saying they're probably going to be in that...
Mae Young Classic. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, You know, overall, I just think that and I'm not so sure that I'm really cool with the new commentary team of Rick Abani and Cabana. I think that that could be better. I just don't... Not that it's bad. I mean, it's not WWE bad, but I think it could be better. I think Kevin Kelly was a great voice for that
guy. Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, and
totally
Steve Corino was phenomenal, too.
Corino's one of the best ever when it comes to talking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he did a great job, so...
Rewind, back to mouthpieces.
Corino
being under WWE contract, I think that would be really good.
If not on camera, at least teaching people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's down there in NXT, probably. That's one of his main... but, you know, I totally agree with that.
Truth Martini, probably the best male manager that has been out there. I know that I talked about it on the last episode. What one? I don't know how much he's doing now. I mean, I don't know because he's not on Ring of Honor anymore. But, I mean, he was the last great male manager that I can think of in the last couple of years.
Right.
You know, not going way, way back.
I think the best promo I ever saw Steve Corino cut was on David Flair at a Brian Pillman show in Cincinnati. And it was 5 minutes, and he had the entire crowd on every word that Corino said.
You had me at Brian Pillman show.
Yeah.
What happened to those?
I don't know. They just went the way of the dinosaur, I guess.
That was always cool because you'd always see people from both sides.
Yeah. All over.
Anyway, but well, no, I think... Yeah, but what you said, though, even though with what you're disappointed in, is still better than what Impact Wrestling has right now.
Oh, sure. I mean, I haven't seen it in a year, so I'm going to go with what I've read, what I've heard. I haven't personally seen it.
They've had every chance in the world. Look at all the talent they've had come through.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Then all the talent they've let go away.
Whether it was cast-offs who probably shouldn't have been wrestling, whether Flair and Savage shouldn't have been wrestling, Hogan shouldn't have been wrestling... But they were at least marquee names to get people in the building. And they've let so many people go.
Yeah.
Take a look at the top of the roster on WWE. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Yeah. I could watch those guys wrestle twice a week. Mm-hmm. They were phenomenal matches.
They were.
And they'll have more great matches.
Well, shall we take a trip back in time since we were talking about Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
We talked about this off air. That it was what... I was mistaken. I thought it was 2005, but it was January 10th, 2004, with the three of us, along with some other folks. In fact, I think we can mention their names. Adam Michaels and D.A. Deadly joined us in Wilmington, Ohio, for our very first Ring of Honor show ever.
Brady West?
Brady didn't make that trip with us.
No, Brady West was not there. So let's run down what we saw that night, all right?
Yeah, let's... down memory lane.
All right, we had Matt Stryker defeat Alex Shelley. We're talking about Matt Stryker from Cincinnati, not Matt Stryker from the WWE.
Right.
All right.
Was that Matt Stryker that was in the Page video? Who was the wrestlers in the Page video?
No, that's not that one. No.
Sorry.
Who knew that she could be tag teamed like that?
Oh, hey.
they wore the straps that night, huh?
This is why it's marked explicit, folks. Anyways, we had Nigel McGuinness defeat Cody Hawk for the to retain the HWA heavyweight title.
Man, the HWA, it's changed so much over the years.
It has.
I remember Nigel, but not Cody.
Yeah.
Cody's still wrestling.
Yep, still going at it, man. Let's see, we had Chris Sabin defeat Jimmy Jacobs when he was still doing the Berserker gimmick, the Huss gimmick. That was phenomenal.
Saban had worked a year before locally here for Fire and Ice, if I'm not mistaken.
Same with Alex Shelley. Yeah, same with Alex Shelley.
That was at the IBU Hall.
IBU. That's the...
Both those gentlemen worked that.
IBEW Hall.
Off of 71 Morse Road?
No.
That's nice at Columbus that was there. IBU was out in Reynoldsburg, off of Lancaster.
Yep, so there you go.
I think I sat ringside. I think everybody sat ringside when it's that size building.
Did you pay for pizza for that, or?
I don't think so.
Oh, did you have a table in front of you? It was like a cafeteria table, and yeah.
You can eat Anyway, digress.
We saw Jimmy Rave defeat Caprice Coleman, Todd Sexton, and the Rain Man.
I think Caprice Coleman's still doing stuff in Ring of Honor.
He is. He's teaming with Rhett Titus.
Yeah.
You know, because Kenny King is off on a reality show apparently.
Oh.
You know. So. Yeah. Anywho, AJ Styles defeated Homicide.
That I don't see. I wish I could remember more of this.
I do remember that match because I remember like Styles did a plancha and missed and ended up in the front row. May have injured his shoulder, I think, because that I remember both that. Because
Homicide back then could go.
Yes. Brat, brat.
It's good stuff.
Thanks. We had a scramble match, Special K, which, by the way, consisted of Joey Matthews, Hydro, Dixie, and Slim J.
Joey Matthews?
Yes, Joey Matthews.
It was, yeah.
And Hydro was Jay Lethal, if I remember correctly.
Ooh.
Yeah. They defeated the Carnage Crew, Loken DeVito, and the Ring Crew Express. This also was the first appearance of Abyss, and I believe maybe the only appearance of Abyss in Ring of Honor, because he showed up at the end to beat the hell out of the other four teams, because he was the bodyguard of Special K.
Did he come out as Prince Justice?
No, he came out as Abyss. I remember.
Okay, I can't remember.
Because I was like, why is the crazed lunatic hanging out with the drug-addicted kids? Like, I don't get it. Again, Dallas, Texas. Ember Moon. Enough said.
What happens? You question, what is it? But you have to put a dollar in the jar?
If you use logic during wrestling, a dollar goes into the bucket.
I know.
That used to pay for...
beer?
Pizza or pay-per-view, yeah.
All right, the Second City Saints in our main event. Ace Steel, CM Punk, and Colt Cabana defeated The Prophecy, Christopher Daniels, BJ Whitmer, and Dan Maff. I remember that Tracy Brooks, think, was there.
Oh, my goodness.
I think Daphne was there in the corner of the Second City Saints, and yes. Allison Danger. And they put Christopher Daniels through a table.
Was that when CM Punk was taking care of business with Tracy Brooks?
I believe so.
God, yeah. I want to do a podcast on... I'd like to get him... Let's get Phil on here and talk about the women that he slept with in wrestling. It's amazing. Okay. From Tracy Brooks to AJ Lee now. He was with Beth Phoenix. He was with a bunch of them.
Yeah, the dude get around.
So who do you think was the busiest of the men?
Oh, the busiest of the men
got to the most.
Either him or Ziggler.
Oh, you mean current day? I was thinking of all time. I'm saying Flair. Flair had to have had sex with the most women. I mean,
among wrestlers,
among other wrestlers,
among
he's probably with other valets. I'm sure Missy Hyatt was a nice go-to for Flair.
Sure. I think she was a go-to for many people.
Yeah. So. Poor hot stuff.
But Hot Stuff then also rebounded to Medusa Michelli, so let's not feel too bad for Hot Stuff.
She is still attractive.
She is. She's still a gorgeous woman.
If you ever hear this, you're A-OK in our book. That's why I have the last name Blaze. Not really, but no, I would probably say because you always heard, because even when he went through TNA.
Who were we talking about again?
Punk.
Oh, Punk. Okay. Yeah.
He lined him up and knocked him down, man, because it was always somebody from...
Yeah. Well, I watched a shoot interview with Maria Kanellis, and she claimed it was the attraction was that he was a no bullshit guy. Like, he just basically flat out told you, this is what's going to happen. I don't want to go out tonight or whatever. And, you know, in a business that's built on bullshit, she goes, that's why a lot of girls fell for that, because he was just straightforward. Like,
hey. So his game was not having game.
Yeah, which is blows my mind.
It works.
Okay.
Excuse me, it worked.
All right. With that being said, gentlemen, we're getting to 50 minutes here, so let's start wrapping things up. But bottom line is there's a lot of great wrestling going on out there at all different levels. You just got to go find it sometimes, right?
One we never talked about, even though it's a glorified indie show, is House of Hardcore. I think Tommy Dreamer's doing some cool stuff with that.
Most definitely.
How does the wrestling fan find that?
Just on the internet. They did a show in Cleveland recently.
Yes, they did.
They haven't came through Columbus yet.
No.
I keep trying to mess with his social media. Oops, sorry, not trying to play footsie. Keep messing with his social media, trying to get him to, okay, come through Columbus, come through. But then you get guys to do that, and TNA came to Columbus, and they couldn't even draw people in the ice rink.
Yeah, that's true.
There's sports or indie wrestling. There's a lot of good stuff out there for sure.
Most definitely. All right, gentlemen, any social medias to plug? Anything you want to? Throw out there
at DJ Joey Blaze on the tweets, on the Instagram. Kind of see the kind of crazy life that I lead, that I'm a 40-year-old man that loves wrestling, toys, and sneakers.
I'm just hoping the valet comes back.
The valet comes back.
I gave my keys to a valet. I'm hoping he comes back.
It's been so long since you threw out that joke that I forgot about it. That's because we're burning the midnight oil tonight. There you go.
What did he have? Was it the same guy that was out there that had a paper bag and a bottle in it?
He looked like Elias Sampson.
He was the drifter.
It might actually have been Elias Sampson. Oh, well.
On that note, I'll make sure, Rand, you get your keys back. It's okay. All right. With that, thanks, guys, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The second part to a conversation that we started a few weeks ago. Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze and yours truly talking about professional wrestling, and I hope you enjoyed it. And with that being said, I know it's a long episode, so I'm just jumping right into the six different ways where you can hear this awesome podcast. You can obviously go to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, to retrieve episodes. You can also listen through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, and even Pod Paradise, ladies and gentlemen. And soon, very soon, there is going to be a seventh way in which you can get this here podcast. But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet. I got a few other kinks to work out with that little plan. But as soon as I find out that it's all green lit and ready to go, I will let you know the seventh way you can get this podcast. But with that being said, maybe you want to tell me what you thought of this episode. You can do it a couple different ways. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @PVDMVP, and you can leave me a message through the Facebook page for the PVDcast, which of course is facebook.com/PVDcast. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later.